You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, what kind of a person are you? In other words, do you complain about what you don't have, or do you give thanks for what you do have? We probably do a little bit of both, but hopefully we are doing a lot more of the thanking in comparison to the complaining. What is the root of the problem, though? When we have complaining, the root of the problem is sin. Therefore, we tend to be similar to the descendants of Abraham. That's where we're going here today in the book of Deuteronomy. These things were true for the descendants of Abraham. So God had moved them from slavery to freedom. God had rescued them from Pharaoh's army. And then God provided them while they were in the wilderness with water, with food, with good health, with protection, and countless other blessings. Nevertheless, so, oftentimes, how did those people respond to God? They responded with complaining and all kinds of other sins. Aren't you glad that we are not like them? Well, of course, I'm kidding, because I'm a lot like them myself. Maybe you are too. Well, as we get into Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is addressing the people in this reading. He's reminding them about the past, and he is instructing them about the future. So what is our takeaway from the sermon tonight? I hope we have more than one. Let us understand what Moses is saying to them. Let us learn from their mistakes so we don't make the same ones. Let us count our blessings, and let us give thanks to God, understanding that every good and perfect gift comes down from Him. So whatever we have that is good, that is a gift from God, and we should give Him our thanks. Going to our text now, in the first verse here, the focus is that God wants to bless us. So the Bible says, the whole commandment, now this is Moses teaching the people, speaking to them. Moses says to them, the whole commandment that I give you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. What does it mean when he says the whole commandment? He's talking here about all of God's commandments. In other words, since God is God, and since God loves us, we can be sure that all of his ways are best. Knowing that, God calls us to gladly keep all of his commandments. And when we keep them, why does he want us to keep them? Because that is one of the many ways that he showers us with blessings. In the second part here, I say, let us remember and understand. Going to verse 2 of the text, it says, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So going back to those people for a moment, you've heard me say it before, but there were probably about 3 million of them, maybe even more than 3 million, but a very large number. Now keep in mind, too, that God wanted to bring them from their slavery in Egypt right to Mount Sinai, and then right into the Promised Land. That was God's plan. There was going to be no detour in the wilderness for almost 40 years. So that was his plan, yet because of their sin, God led them to live and travel and camp in that difficult place, in that wilderness, for nearly 40 years. Why is it that that happened? God was trying to discover what was in their hearts. Now, that's how the text puts it. But really, though, does God know what's in every heart without having to discover it? Certainly he does. But let me make this statement, though. Any person, myself included, can say many things, but a person's heart is what contains that person's truth. So for each of us, we know what's in our hearts. God knows what's in our hearts, but we don't know what is in each other's hearts. God knows every heart, though, and when we think about what's in our hearts and we think about God knowing every heart, what should we conclude? All of us are in desperate need of our Lord Jesus Christ. Going on to the third part, God wants us to trust in him. In verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, "And God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So when we are proud, what does that mean? What's our attitude? When we are proud, we think we can accomplish it. In other words, we don't need help from people. We don't need help from God. We can do it. When God humbles us, what is God doing? God is showing us that of our own abilities, we cannot do it, and he is calling us to trust in him. So in the wilderness, what did God do for the people? God let them become hungry. God let them know that they could not provide for themselves. And then God fed them. So this cycle went on over and over again, becoming hungry, being fed, becoming hungry, being fed. God was trying to make them dependent upon him. God was trying to get them to trust in him for what they needed. What about us? Can we provide our food? Really, we can't. We might think we can. We might say, oh, I don't need the grocery store. I can grow my own food. But if God doesn't give the water and the sunshine and all that is needed, we're not going to have any food at all. So when we have food, God wants us to recognize that being from him, and he wants us to give him thanks. What about forgiveness? We've all fallen into sin. So can we wash ourselves in a special way? What if we washed ourselves with a Brillo pad? Would that get off the sin? It would be pretty miserable, wouldn't it? But it wouldn't get rid of the sin. There is nothing we can do to get rid of the sin. So just as we cannot provide our food, God says, trust in me. Just as we cannot get rid of our sin, God says, trust in me, and I will provide the gift of forgiveness. Going on to the fourth part, we see that God's faithfulness is great. So it says here in verse 4, "Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years." So think about the people. Why were they in the wilderness? Because of their unfaithfulness, because of their disobedience, yet God still loved them. Amazingly, God still loved them, so he sustained them and he kept them healthy. Now think about our own lives. How much more has God done for us? So how much more should we be thankful to our great God for all he gives to us, even though none of us deserve any of it? Part 5, God wants the best for us. "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you." So what is the purpose of discipline? Think about it like this. Let's say there's a person and he wants to go through, let's say there are two choices. You have door number 1 and door number 2. So let's say there's a person and he's determined to go through door number 1, but yet God or even a parent wants the person to go through door number 2. So what happens then? God or the parent exercises discipline in order to lovingly move the person to reject door number 1 and to choose door number 2. Now, that might not be so pleasant for the person trying to move him from 1 to 2, but really it's a very loving action because God or the parent knows, again, that number 1 is not good, number 2 is good, and the parent or God is trying to do what they can to move them over to door number 2. Even in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So discipline truly is love, even though for the person being disciplined, it's not pleasant at times. Part 6, God's desired response. So Moses continued speaking to the people and said, "So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him." In other words, in response to God's discipline, what should we do? We should be thankful that he loves us, even though we are sinners. We should give him the respect that he deserves. He is the Almighty God, and we should do whatever he says, confident that his ways are best. Let's also understand, though, that such things do not save us at all. Instead, we are gifted with salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. However, though, such things do express our thankfulness to God. Part 7. In this part, I say, as God blessed them, so he has blessed us. We're going to take a look here at verses 7, 8, and 9, and notice all the blessings that the people had back then. We're talking here about the descendants of Abraham as they went into the promised land. Moses said to them, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper." So it was quite a wonderful land that God was giving to them. Not that they deserved it, but God was giving it to them because he loved them. What about us? Here we are living in the United States of America, and God has also gifted us with a very wonderful land. Think a little bit about our nation. We have fresh water. We have natural resources. We have much food. We have a stable economy. We have many employment opportunities. We have excellent health care. We have retirement income. And we have countless other reasons to give thanks to God. Sometimes it's important for us just to be still, to remember that God is God, to assess what he has given to us, and to give him thanks. That would be an excellent thing to do if you're planning on some kind of a special meal tomorrow. Maybe take some time right before you eat and to do some thinking about what he has given and to truly give him thanks. Probably a good thing to do day by day for all of us. Finally, in the last part here, we come to verse 10, and Moses said to them, "And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Let's understand that it's so easy to focus on the gifts rather than the giver. Now, if you sit down to kind of a traditional Thanksgiving dinner, you've probably been smelling it cooking for quite a while. And when you finally see it on the table, how can you think about anything other than that food? Because you're probably pretty hungry at that point. The food smells so good, but what have we forgotten, though? We're focusing on the gifts, but we forgot about the giver. Again, like I said earlier, with every good gift, let's recognize that has come from God. And it's really important to give him thanks, and it's really important to give him thanks before we partake. Because what oftentimes happens is that once people have eaten, now they have no thought at all about giving thanks to God. It's proper to give him thanks even before and after, but especially before. Let us remember and let us give him thanks. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, because of your love, you made us, and we give you thanks. Because of our nakedness, you gave us clothes, and we give you thanks. Because of our hunger, you gave us food, and we give you thanks. Because we are at risk, you give us shelter, and we give you thanks. Because we were not meant to be alone, you gave us relationships, and we give you thanks. And because of our sins, we are especially grateful because you gave us your one and only Son, who is the Lamb of God, who is the Savior of the world, who is our ticket to heaven, who is the one and the only one through which we will pass from this valley of sorrow that we live in now unto your glorious presence. So for Jesus, we give you our hearty thanks, and in his name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.